Welcome everybody to another episode of Sinner, Sinner, You're a Winner, the podcast where we teach you how to get away with all those pesky crimes. Wait, that's...
Wait a minute.
Wrong one again. This is HomeKit Insider. You have me, Andrew, here with my pal, Steven. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I mean, I'm down for like Ocean's 11 style stuff. I mean, that's kind of one of my dreams. I'd love to be, you know... No, just kidding. Are we going to get arrested for this? Is this a problem? I don't even know.
Not on this podcast. Just maybe.
Okay. So good. Yeah, because you're actually on a new computer right now. You're actually on the M2 MacBook Pro, which maybe we could talk about in a little bit. Did it blow your mind? Did the M2 just come out of there and hit you in the face when you opened the computer?
Not so much.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's not really HomeKit related, but I mean, it's the M2. It's a new chip. I'm excited about it. One quick 5-star review. Nestor Calderon from Denver, Colorado. Thank you, Nestor, for rating the show with 5 stars. Now, we do have some news today. We got a lot of HomeKit news today, actually. And the first one, I feel like we need to talk about the iPad as a home hub, because there was some confusion after the keynote. Once the betas dropped, people were like, home hub disappeared in iPadOS 16. And then it was like, no, maybe it's back. And Apple kind of clarified, but it's the kind of clarifying of like, yes, you can use it as a home hub, maybe, but not totally. And then that's kind of all we got. So, Andrew, I know you got this in-depth on the iPadOS 16 home hub ability. I don't know why this is so difficult to say. There's so many H's in all of this. But talk to me. Are people going to be able to use their iPad as a home hub in iPadOS 16?
I mean, it's a yes with a big asterisk next to it. And everyone listening can feel real good that they had their greens, because this is a big pile of word salad right here. So this is Apple's full statement that they gave to The Verge. Okay, we'll break this down in a second. I'll just read you the statement.
Okay.
Alongside these releases, iOS, all of the new releases, the Home app will introduce a new architecture for even more efficient and reliable experience. Because iPad will not be supported as a home hub with the new architecture, users who rely on iPad for that purpose do not need to update the home architecture and can continue enjoying all existing features.
No. Okay.
Is that very clear? Did that clear everything up for everyone?
Yeah, everything is crystal clear except for all of it, because saying like, don't update the architecture. So on the face of it, you know, people are thinking, are they talking about Matter? Is this a Matter situation? Because Apple is talking about Matter. They're going to support it whenever it launches. Is this just that the iPad won't support that? Or like, I can't imagine there's going to be like a pop-up in the home app in iPadOS 16. Do you want to update the architecture of your HomeKit setup? Like, I don't imagine that's going to be the thing. So like, I'm very curious what that's going to mean. Can someone upgrade to iPadOS 16 but not update the architecture of their home app?
Okay, so... to me, so far, this does not seem Matter related. If this was Matter related, I feel like they would have called out Matter. Just another reason to be able to tout Matter as the future of the smart home. So to me, this is reading more of, in Apple's release notes for iOS 16 and the rest, they did say that with iOS 16, these updates, HomeKit will be more responsive, faster, and you can control like more accessories from the home app, like quicker. Like if I'm tapping a bunch of light bulbs, it can communicate to those multiple accessories more reliably and faster, and it's not going to like lag behind. All sure. Great stuff. But that sounds like what they're talking about with this architecture swap upgrade that's happening in the background. So to me, it sounds like for whatever reason, iPad will not be supporting that new architecture, and just your HomePods and your Apple TVs will. But what makes this like extra confusing, in the iOS release notes, they do say to enjoy these new faster HomeKit experience, all of your devices must be updated to, you know, those current releases, tvOS 16, iOS 16, iPadOS 16, HomePod update 16, like all of those have to be running, all of them, to have the faster, more reliable HomeKit experience. So to me, it's like, okay, so we're going to get this update. It's almost like when you get an update to Final Cut Pro, Steven, and like the pop-up, your library needs to be updated to work with this new version of Final Cut. I honestly expect that they might have a pop-up that says, do you want to continue using as your iPad as a home hub? And it'll say like, you won't get the faster updated HomeKit experience, but you'll still be able to use your iPad as a home hub, or upgrade, but you no longer will be. I seem to expect that based on this feedback. And I don't even know if this was planned or if they just anticipated removing that functionality. And then there was a lot of pushback. Mm. And now they've like backpedaled a little bit, offering the choice. Do you want better, faster HomeKit, or do you want to use your iPad as a home hub? And I will say the reason people want to use their iPad as a home hub that we didn't really talk about much when this was like breaking is a lot of people use their home hubs, like their iPad as a home hub for travel. So whether it's like, you know, long-term or work or hotel rooms, anything like that, you can bring a lot of HomeKit devices like smart bulbs or other lights and things. There's plenty of different devices that you can bring and you can like keep with you and automate using a home hub, which is usually your iPad because you've got it with you and it'll just work. But now with this, it just makes things real confusing and didn't make it very clear. Didn't make it very clear. And yeah, I don't know where Matter falls in with all of that. If you need the new architecture to support Matter, it doesn't seem like it because functionality-wise, it's the same. It's just quicker. So maybe Matter will still work even if you don't upgrade it, but it's not as fast. So
this makes a lot of not sense to me. I mean, I guess I could imagine, I remember when Notes was updated, it used to like sync over weird like IMAP email settings, and then Notes eventually moved to like iCloud sync. And I remember when you updated your iOS, there would be a pop-up when you opened the Notes app and it said, do you want to update to iCloud syncing or whatever? Like, do you want to move your notes?
Yeah.
So I could imagine there being a pop-up like that. I'm just curious like how Apple is going to word that for it to make sense to people. Like, do you want to update the scaffolding of your home app or not? Like, I'm curious how that's going to work.
I feel like it would just say updating Apple Home. Do you want to update your Apple Home to the improved experience, but you will no longer be able to use your iPad as a hub? Like, something like that. And they do, the Apple spokesperson does say that they are planning to add a, the upgrade will be available in the app's settings in a later iPadOS 16 update. So it doesn't seem like this new architecture will be ready for day one, and it'll be an option in settings when it is available, and you'll be able to just toggle it on.
Okay. Well, we will see. I'm very curious. You know, I've never used an iPad as a home hub for travel. You know, that was interesting to hear several listeners doing that. But now I'm thinking about it. You know, when you go to a hotel room, especially if you're going to stay for an extended period of time, you know, maybe bring some HomeKit plugs with you. And, you know, use your iPad as a home hub. I kind of like that idea. Oh, you know what? And speaking of which, Andrew, I actually have a HomeKit smart plug right here from SwitchBot, because SwitchBot, sponsor of this episode, now makes HomeKit devices. That might have been one of my all-time best transitions, Andrew. Like, let's just be real. Let's be real.
How long were you sitting on that over there just thinking?
It was about 5 minutes. It was about 5 minutes I was thinking about it. But so listen, SwitchBot, they've released 7 new products this year, including their Meter Plus LED light strip. They have a Plug Mini, Pan and Tilt Cam, and of course, the new HomeKit version of their smart plug. You can use it right in the HomeKit app, which is awesome. They have some Prime Day deals going on July 7th and 11th. They have 30% off everything on their web store. Well, they have 30% off combos on the web store. You can buy combos and get a free SwitchBot robot finger. And then on July 12th and 13th, there's 30% off all the products on the web store and Amazon. And you can even get another 5% off when you use the code 35PRIMESB, SB for SwitchBot. So 35PRIMESB. We'll put links in the show notes to all of that stuff. But SwitchBot has awesome stuff now. And also, we actually had a listener write in the question. Let me see if I put it in the notes here. But they were asking about IR blasters. And I forgot what it was. They were on Twitter, but they were saying like, hey, what's a smart device you can use as an IR blaster? And I remembered SwitchBot Hub Mini actually functions as an IR blaster. And so I had one. Since we've been moving, I kind of wasn't sure where it was. So I put my Hub Mini by my entertainment center. And, you know, because Logitech Harmony is like, meh, you know, they're discontinued. I actually programmed my Hub Mini to control some of my home theater devices that are not HomeKit enabled. So SwitchBot's got some awesome stuff. Check out the links in the show notes. They got some Prime Day deals going on for you. SwitchBot.
Boom.
I kind of want to do, I want to do like a commercial, like a boom, SwitchBot, the HomeKit smart plug. I don't know.
SwitchBot. It's in the bot.
Hey, yeah. That's pretty good. Short, so they need to do like a short circuit collaboration. That'd be a good one. Very cool. All right, speaking of more news, so Akara, they've actually released an updated version of their M1S hub. Akara devices, they have lots of different hubs. They have like the M2 hub. You can use their camera as a hub. They have their E1 USB stick type hub. But anyway, they're updating the M1S. This is Gen 2. This is like the white circle hub that has a big speaker built in. And so they've improved the speaker. They got the RGB light ring, improved Wi-Fi connectivity. It's actually got 2x2 MIMO Wi-Fi antennas. You'll get better Wi-Fi performance. And the new hub supports all four modes of the HomeKit security system. So if you're looking to get into some Akara devices, you check out that new hub. And I will say, I've actually set up some Akara contact sensors on the doors, because now we're getting settled in the new house. I'm wanting to put more contact sensors and things around. I have to say, the Akara contact sensors are one of the fastest responding ones. I mean, it's using Zigbee with the hub and all that, but man, those things are quick. I've used them in a couple automations. I actually like the Akara low profile type design of those contact sensors. So yeah, Akara's got some cool stuff. I want to mention that.
Do you know what's been, not to like downplay any other contact sensors, because they're all good, but the one that I've noticed has been incredibly capable.
Yes.
And hilarious, because it's the one that I have a notification turned on for. So I get this notification every time this contact sensor is opened or closed. And it's the one on our snack cabinet in the kitchen. And I don't know, it's from Kugeek, which I don't even know if they're still Kugeek around. Yeah, they were like one of the very first HomeKit companies, and this is such an old sensor, but it even has like an alert in the Home app that says like there's an update available for it, and I go to the Kugeek app and it's like there are no updates available for it. I'm like, who's lying, and it won't go away. But it is the freaking most rock solid contact sensor. I don't know if it's because it's like right above a home hub, but it is so fast. Like the second you open that door, I've already got a notification on my phone, and even outside the house I'm like, I'll get like an alert, cabinet was open, and then 5 minutes later my wife texts me, I ate chocolate.
Like, she knows. She knows you're watching. You got eyes everywhere. that's interesting. I tried searching Amazon right now for Kugeek. I don't even know how to spell it, but it's not coming up, so I'm not sure if it's
K-O-O-G-E-E-K.
Yeah. It's not on Amazon right now, so I don't know if it exists anymore. But as I was searching, I don't think we've ever talked about this product. Just came across it. Fibaro, we've mentioned them. They have like their like eyeball HomeKit button. They have the water leak sensor. Yeah. Apparently, Fibaro has a door and window contact sensor, HomeKit enabled, of course. But it's also a temperature sensor, also built into this contact sensor. It looks like pretty significant. Like it's kind of big, but this thing does, I guess, temperature and contact, and it works without a hub, I guess. Have you ever heard of this thing?
I mean, I've seen their door and window sensor, but I didn't look at it that closely to notice that it had the temperature sensor and stuff in there, because I've got a lot. My doors literally look like they've got like six sensors on them. Like they look insane.
That's interesting. It also says read sensor. What is a read sensor? R-E-E-D.
I don't know
what that is. Anyway, I'll put a link to that in show notes. It's $70, which is kind of expensive for a contact sensor, but I don't know, maybe a read sensor like senses gold. Maybe it's like a divining rod. I have no idea.
Or prevents anyone named Reed from walking in your doors.
Yeah, well, unless it's Reed Richards. Reed Richards can always walk in. You know, you told me about this before we started recording. So VocaLink, we've talked about their products in the past. VocaLink, they make contact sensors. They make a wide variety of products. Well, their founder, who started a VocaLink, has actually left the company and started a new HomeKit and smart home brand. We actually mentioned it a couple episodes ago, and I mean, I didn't have any idea that this was the VocaLink founder, but that Apolnos air purifier that we talked about a few weeks ago, that is actually from this new company founded by the VocaLink founder. So, and you actually talked to him, is that right?
Yeah, like I've talked to him for years, because VocaLink was really pushing some stuff early on, and then they were the first HomeKit air purifier and things like that. And yeah, we had covered this new Thread-based air purifier a couple weeks ago. And we're like, oh, that's really cool. This is awesome. And next thing I know, he's emailing me saying, hey, by the way, this is what's going on. So we'll have more to share on the new company and some other possible products or whatever they're going to be doing as they move forward. But I just thought that was curious. And he did say, Stephen, he's like, don't worry, I will make sure to have more filters available. Because I know with the Vocalink air purifier, filters were just like non-existent to come by.
Mm.
And I love that he threw that in there. And he's like, don't worry, filters will not be a problem. And like, I love it.
Okay. That's such all a right.
Thing to hear. But yes. Yeah. Really interesting.
Okay. Very cool. We'll hopefully we'll see some more stuff from Apolnos. Apolnos? There's a line over the O. So I think you pronounce that differently. But Pylnis, I have no idea. Sorry, I apologize to everyone, pronunciation police. Now, let's see. We want to talk about some Prime Day deals. Do you have a lot of Prime Day deals? Is there a lot of stuff you want to go into?
I don't have anything yet because...
Oh, very good.
A couple things that I have. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about them yet. I'm clarifying some embargo dates still. And I really hope that ahead of Prime Day, we can give everyone like... Watch out for these brands. They're going to have deals. So if you're looking for this type of product, you know, these companies are going to have some deals. Like just more information like right before Prime Day, because we're coming out like on Monday. And then Prime Day is what, like Tuesday and Wednesday, something like that, Stephen?
It's the 11th and 12th, which is Monday and Tuesday, I think. As you listen to the next episode, it should be...
Yeah, so hopefully we can provide more information because there's a couple things that I've been clued into and I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, but hopefully we can share some more deals. Like, actually, I mean, we should be able to for sure share them on Prime Day. So, Prime Day episode, be sure to listen.
So next, to
hopefully help.
And you were right. It is July 12th and 13th. I'm sorry, which is Tuesday and Wednesday. So the next episode will come out on the 11th, right before Prime Day, and we'll tell you all the stuff that you should get. Which there was actually a listener question from Nev Harris on Twitter. He was asking about Prime Day, I think. He was at, Amazon Prime Days. He's looking to buy some new light switches. So we will let you know on the next episode what Prime Day deals might be out there for light switches. I also wanted to warn him and everyone else looking for light switches, Nev Harris. I mean, we know that those Wemo Thread light switches and dimmers are like rumored. Like whispers in the wind. And so I told him, you know, he says he doesn't really need these light switches for another 3 to 5 months. He was just trying to take advantage of Amazon Prime Day deals. But I would say even with those deals, you may want to hold off because there's probably going to be updated light switches, especially with Thread. And trust me, you want Thread. You want Thread in as many HomeKit and smart home devices as you can. So Nev, if you can hold out and not buy the switches until at least the Wemo Thread ones come out, I would hold on. I would hold on and wait till you do it. Now, Andrew has disappeared from the video if you're watching on YouTube, but that's okay because I can take a moment and oh, wait a minute. No, he's back. He's thinking about it.
I'm just trying to find my microphone case because my existing mic, the battery is dying on it. So keep going.
Let's okay, chat wonderful.
About
yeah, your
next transition.
Okay, very good. Well, while Andrew is searching for his mic thing, we want to thank our friends at Collide. So when you think about traditional endpoint security tools, it can make a workplace feel like a surveillance state and turn users and the IT team into adversaries. And, you know, if you've been in a company and they try to lock down devices using like mobile device management or they really want to lock down security and privacy practices, it can feel like you don't have full access to the devices you need to work with. Well, it doesn't have to be this way. Collide is a device security solution built around honest security, really empowering the employees and members of your team to take security and privacy into their own hands. Their philosophy is that employees aren't your biggest security risk, they're your biggest allies, and your relationship with them should be based on transparency and informed consent, because Collide works by notifying your employees of security issues via Slack. I love this. And it gives them step-by-step instructions on how to solve those issues themselves. Collide provides the right level of visibility for Mac, Windows, and Linux devices, and it can answer questions about your fleet's security that traditional MDMs can't. So you can meet your security goals without compromising your values. Visit collide.com/homekit to find out how, KOLIDE.com/homekit to find out how. And when you follow that link, they'll actually hook you up with a goodie bag just for activating a free trial. That's KOLIDE.com/homekit. And the link will be in the show notes as well. Our thanks to Collide for sponsoring this episode. I'm excited because there are new MagSafe chargers from Belkin, And the one that I'm most excited about, you can tell me the other one that maybe I missed, but the Belkin 3-in-1 tree style charger. I used that thing for a while. I bought it as soon as it came out, but then it didn't have Apple Watch fast charging for the Apple Watch Series 7. I moved to the Belkin like flat 3-device charger because that fast charged Apple Watch, but I always missed the tree. I love that tree charger because it's such a small footprint on your nightstand, and I like the things hanging, better visibility. And so Belkin actually released a new 3-in-1 tree charger. Looks exactly like the old one, comes in white or black, but it does fast charging for the Apple Watch. It's coming today as we record. It's being delivered to my house. I said, I'm going to get it, and I got it. But what else they got going on? They got new MagSafe chargers
that
too?
That is the big one in terms of MagSafe. They do have a separate product announced, which is a new 70-watt GaN charger, two USB-C outputs, very handy. But yeah, no, this is the one that I was excited about, finally adding that Apple Watch fast charging to it. That's been my biggest thing, is like I have, again, like you said, on my nightstand. I hate the other ones because they're so long. They take up space on my nightstand, and I don't have it. I'm a cluttery person over there, and I don't have the space for the long one. So by having that tree version, so much better. But then I wear my Apple Watch to bed.
Yeah.
I sleep with it. I do the sleep tracking, and I can't handle the slower speeds. Like I just set it on there and it takes forever to charge without the fast charger. I don't know how everyone who doesn't have a Series 7 and how I didn't do this before a year ago, because it just seems ridiculously slow without that fast charger, man.
Yeah, 35% faster charging on the Series 7. It doesn't sound like a lot.
It even seems like more.
It does seem like more. And I also wear mine when I sleep because I like tracking my sleep. And I remember with Series 6 and earlier, I would put it on the charger when I got ready in the morning, took a shower or whatever. And then I would put it on the charger at night for whenever I was watching something. But I felt like the Series 6 never got to 100%, even that like charging for a small amount of time in the morning and in the evening. With the Series 7 and a fast charger, it is hitting 100% both times. If I throw it on the charger in the morning and I go get ready, I get the notification that it hit 100%, like before I'm even done getting ready. And then in the evening as well, I'll throw it on the charger before I go to sleep. I watch something, 100% again, right before I go to sleep. And so if you have a Series 7 and you are not using a fast charger, it is worth it. And this Belkin 3-in-1, like, they're not a sponsor. Like, they've not given us anything. I bought that charger with my own money, but I really love the fast charging, and I love their tree design for the space and surface area savings. So good on Belkin.
They say it goes, Belkin says it'll go 0 to 80% in only 45 minutes. So
that's amazing.
That's quite rapid. And especially if you're doing it for sleep tracking, like you don't need much to make it through sleep tracking. It takes very little battery life. So you wake up in the morning and you basically are just topping it off. So I have to do my like larger charge towards the evening. And yeah, just getting ready for bed, I'll toss it on there and I need like half an hour maybe. And that's it. Good to go.
Boom. It is good to go.
Unless you're using a regular charger, then it's like 2 hours.
Exactly. No, exactly.
So long. First world problems.
Yeah, I know. I convinced William to buy that tree charger when it first came out. Now I'm going to try and convince him to buy the faster charging one too. We'll see if I can get him to do it. This is not in our notes, Andrew, and I just want your personal opinion on this. This is something that when I was moving into the new house and I wasn't sure what kind of internet access we were going to get, I put myself on the waiting list for Starlink, the satellite internet from Elon Musk. And I just got the email a few days ago saying it is ready. You can sign up for Starlink and we will send you your satellite dish right now. And I'm looking at the email right now. I have 1 day to confirm my order. Well, I have 1 day to decide whether or not I have no reason to get it now. I have fiber internet at the new house. Like I really don't need this at all, but it's like, I have this email here and I could get Starlink if I wanted to. And if I don't confirm, then it just goes away. Like I'm, you know, off the waiting list and you have to wait another, I don't know, whatever year and a half. So, I don't know. Andrew, you think I should get a Starlink just because? Just to try?
What's the layout cost like to buy the hardware?
Well, that's the thing. Like it's $100 a month for service, which I assume even after you get the hardware, you could probably cancel the service and not pay.
Yeah,
but you have to buy the hardware, which is $550. $550. So it is not cheap to do. And like, I don't even know if anybody cares on YouTube about Starlink. I mean, probably, because all the, you know, I don't know. Like, I was curious to try it. I do have a lot of trees around my house, so I imagine I'd have to, like, construct some kind of 100-foot totem pole to put this on, and, like, I'm probably not going to do that. Let's be real. So, I don't know. What do you think?
It's tempting. It's just really cool. Like, I would want to try it. Like, it just seems awesome, super, you know, off the grid. You're not having to worry about being tethered to your house or anything. It's really neat. And I've been reading recently about, like, that new version where you can, like, take it with you, like, for basically that RV version, which still sounds like a hassle and a terrible idea, even for that. But it's at least a possibility.
Yeah.
But no, it seems neat. It's probably not worth it for the money.
Right.
I mean, if the hardware was like $300 maybe, I'd probably do it. Even just to cancel the service and, like, you know, all of a sudden you want to spin it up or something like that. Like, you've got an option. But you know, $500+.
Yeah.
It's a bit steep.
I don't know.
For something you don't need.
I know, for something I really have no need for. But, you know, living in Florida with hurricanes, it's like, you know, if our power gets taken out or our internet gets taken out, it's like I could, in a pinch, like, stand outside with a satellite over my head and record this podcast. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. All right. Well, tune in to next week's episode, because I'll let you know if I decide to do it. I'm not buying that on the air. I got to think about it more than just buying it live as we record. All right. So tell me, you're right now, you're talking to me through the M2 chip. Your voice is literally going through the silicon that Apple has put in that computer. And yeah, tell me, you have the M2 MacBook Pro. MacBook Air is not available to purchase yet. Is there any difference? Do you notice any difference between the hand you held it up for the camera? It's a space gray 13-inch MacBook Pro. It looks the same as it has for the last, like, 5 years. But yeah, what do you think?
Like you said, it's the same thing. I don't really notice. In day-to-day tasks, I'm not really noticing anything different. I mean, we have slightly faster clock speed than the cores.
Andrew's microphone died, and now he is frantically searching for the battery. And he disappeared again. You know what? This is a prime opportunity for me to thank our third and final sponsor for today's episode. And listen, before you go anywhere, I'm going to show you my receipt, because I literally bought another product from this sponsor. They didn't send it to me, although I did use our discount code. HomeKit is the promo code if you go buy something from them. But I bought towels from our friends at Nebbia. You know Nebbia. They make incredible shower heads, the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower. They make the Nebbia Quattro. Love their shower heads. They're height adjustable, easy to install. They save up to 45% of water compared to other shower heads. But they have a great shower experience. It atomizes the water. There's great thermal comfort. It feels like a spa. But I want to prove to our listeners, you can see this if you go to youtube.com/HomeKitInsider. This is my Nebbia towel purchase. I bought the Nebbia towels, and I used our discount code. And yeah, I am now just like a Nebbia fanboy, because I use their quick dry earth mat. I love their earth mat, still using that. And now they got towels, so I'm buying the Nebbia towels. And yeah, I just love everything they make. And so I think that you guys should get it too. Andrew, do you like Nebbia too? What do you think?
I do. I also think that you should be just a paid Nebbia social influencer, because you are going all in. I love it. I still think that earth mat is the coolest thing. I am so picky with towels, so I cannot wait to hear, hopefully in the next episode, how you like those towels.
I will. They just arrived, so I will. Next, I think they have a couple more ad spots in the next couple weeks, so I will sing the praises of the Nebbia towel as well. But man, I just love it. You should try the shower heads. You should try the towels. You should try the quick dry earth mat. I will say it is one of my favorite things in my bathroom. It's really cool. But if you want to get the shower, the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower starts at just $199. And for HomeKit Insider listeners, we have a deal for you. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Use that promo code HomeKit at checkout to get 10% off all Nebbia products. The towel, the quick dry earth mat, the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower, the Nebbia Quattro Showerhead. I really like the Quattro Showerhead, actually. And again, Nebbia doesn't do sales, but they have partnered with us for a long time, and they make great stuff, as I can attest to. So jump on it. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Check out what they have to offer and save 10% with promo code HomeKit. And now Andrew's back. The M2 chip literally recharged his microphone as he walked around it. That's how much power. No, I'm just kidding. So not really much of a difference, eh? Not really much of a difference.
No, not really. So there's improvements to the M2, right? So they do have a faster clock speed for the individual cores. Still an 8-core chip, still 5-nanometer process, slightly faster clock speed. So we do see higher Geekbench scores for the single core as well as multi-core just overall. They're going from, so the M1, it had a 7 or 8 core GPU. With the MacBook Pro, they only came in the 8-core options. If you got the MacBook Air, you could choose between the two. But for the MacBook Pro, it had an 8-core. So it is going from an 8-core to a 10-core GPU. And then you have the new hardware accelerated video encode and decode engines, which are there, should help with some video production stuff. And you have the 50% faster memory bandwidth. So now these can handle up to 24 gigs of unified memory before they capped out at 16. So there are like some tangible changes to the M2, but I cannot see for the life of me why anybody on the planet should buy the 13-inch MacBook Pro versus the new MacBook Air. Like, yes, the MacBook Pro has active cooling and you're gonna get slightly better performance. We saw the same thing with the M1 versions. Slightly better performance, not a huge leap in performance. If you want a huge leap, go to the 14-inch and you get all the benefits there. But I mean, the MacBook Air is lighter. It is
cooler design. It's the new design.
It has the same chip. You have MagSafe 3, so you have effectively an additional port because you have two USB-C on the MacBook Pro. And you have to use one to charge. So you have MagSafe 3 on the MacBook Air. It has a larger screen because you've got that bar at the top now with a notch. So you're getting a 13.6-inch versus 13.3-inch screen. You have a 1080p camera on the MacBook Air. For the tiny amount of performance difference between the two, I do not think it's worth it to pick up the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Like, if you need more performance in the Air, just you're going to have to spring for the 14-inch MacBook Pro. But at that point, you're getting SD card, HDMI, the ProMotion display, you're getting the larger screen, you're getting all the other benefits. The M2 is nice, but even like video production, I exported a video and I saved like 14 seconds on a 20-minute 4K video export.
No. Listen, don't buy the M2 MacBook Pro. Wait for the M2 MacBook Air. If you're in the market for a laptop and you have to spend under $2,000, the M2 MacBook Air is going to be the one to get. You're probably going to have to buy it on pre-order day because seeing Apple's like supply chain issues, like Studio Display, still really can't get it for months. So you might want to jump on it, especially that midnight color. I'm sure that's going to be the first color to go.
We had a rumor. I might have been like today, yep. Steven.
That's right.
Yeah. So the newest rumor says these could hit store shelves on July 15th, roughly 2 weeks or so, and pre-orders opening on the 8th. The 8th. So
that's next Friday.
Just a few days away.
This Friday, yeah, as you listen
this
to this episode.
This is Monday,
Steven. it is Monday right now as we speak, and so this Friday, pre-orders might be open for the MacBook Air, so you might have to jump on that.
It could be confirmed by the time people are listening to this. So
That is true.
Stay tuned to Apple Insider for the latest news.
Exactly.
You're tracking that MacBook Air.
that thing. All right. Well, I want to share I installed a new camera. I finally got my my Eve outdoor cam set up. There's the shot right there for my Eve outdoor cam. It's on like this like barn shed thing in the backyard. Let me tell you something. Almost died trying to swap that out. It was high up and trying to disassemble a floodlight that's already installed. Not easy. It's my first time ever doing that. Those things are complicated. And then the wires are real, like, you know, stiff and rigid. Nothing to do with the Eve outdoor cam. Eve outdoor cam, two thumbs up. Love the camera. The light, the motion light is great. You can break out the actual floodlight from the camera if you'd like. So if you want like an individual card, you can automate the light and all that in the home app. And just want to say, I know we already talked about the Eve outdoor cam, so we don't have to talk about it a ton, but really like it. It is right on the edge of my Wi-Fi reach, which is the one thing that's like, it cuts out, again, no fault of the Eve outdoor cam, but it cuts out pretty often because it's like right on the edge. And like I see in the home app, like the picture I just showed was actually like a still photo, because if I try to get a live shot right now, it's just going to say like, it's not responding because it's for some reason the Wi-Fi like fluctuates like the wind. I don't know if there's like if there's anything like between the camera.
If it rains, no.
Yeah, if it no. Yeah, if it rains, if someone like lets a balloon go and it floats through the the one line of sight. So I'm thinking about, I'd be curious if any of our listeners have gone to these lengths, but I am thinking about installing a Wi-Fi router on the exterior of my home, which I thankfully planned for while we were doing construction. I have one Ethernet cable curled up right under the soffit of the, like in the backyard of the house. And so if I really wanted to, I could just go through the soffit, grab that Ethernet cable, and power over Ethernet, add another Unify Ubiquiti Wi-Fi router. And then I'm sure the camera would have no problem. And then I could also add other HomeKit outdoor devices like in the backyard. We would have great Wi-Fi coverage all over the backyard and pool area and all this kind of stuff. So I'm thinking about it, but I haven't done it yet. Do you have any struggles with exterior HomeKit devices? Do you have a Wi-Fi router on the side of your house?
No, but we don't have any. I mean, we've got strong Wi-Fi routers that reach pretty far as is, but I don't have to put anything farther. I mean, the only thing that I have like on the exterior would be like the camera that I used to put on the chicken coop, which is just an Arlo one, and that reaches through the Arlo's base station, not even Wi-Fi or anything. So,
right.
I've had issues.
What about you had like a smart door on your chicken coop, didn't you?
Yeah, but it's not Wi-Fi connected or anything. It's just battery-powered, solar-paneled, and it just opens and closes based on the sunlight or a timer, stuff like that. But it doesn't have external control. I mean, I can't, like, remotely corral the chickens inside and then shut the door behind them or anything like that. So it just goes on and off based on the sun.
Maybe I'll buy that Starlink satellite dish and just put it right, have just one internet connection to the Eve outdoor cam. Just put it right there. Yeah, super. But I'd have trouble getting it on the same home network, I guess. But anyway, Eve Outdoor Cam is great. I just might need to upgrade my outdoor Wi-Fi. And now let's hit one more listener question before we go. This is from Fabian. I actually had a friend, Fabian, in college. What's up, Fabian? Fabian Vasquez Uresti. He was asking about thermostats. He's got a 2,800 square foot home, and there's two HVAC units for cooling and heating either side of the home. And so he's looking at getting two thermostats. And of course, as soon as he said thermostat, my immediate thought was no question, get the new Ecobee Premium with that brushed aluminum side, the new user interface. The Ecobee is the way to go. I mean, that's what I did. And if you need two, I actually have the same situation in my new home. I actually have two HVAC, there's like a unit on either side. And so I got the Ecobee, this was before the Premium was out, but I got the Ecobee with voice assistant for like the one that is closest to where we interact with most of the time. Put the more expensive one where you're going to be like using it a lot. And then I got the Ecobee Lite, which is $150. I put that on that second system. The systems can talk to each other. I mean, if you could use the Ecobee app and program them all there. You can have both of them in the home app, but I don't think, I'm not sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but I don't think you can like tell the Ecobees, try to, like everybody try to get to 74 degrees all over the house and manage it. You can do that with the sensors and and pair those with the thermostat, but I don't know if you can get two thermostats to do that, but I'm not sure. What do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah,
I mean, for picking out which ones, it depends on what he thinks like he wants in terms of functionality. Obviously, the new ones are very cool and they look really pretty. So I like the new ones, but it's definitely a higher cost to outfit two spots with the highest end thermostat that they make. And it's really easy just to say, yeah, go with the most expensive one. But if you have like especially one in a good spot where you're able to talk to it and use Siri, I like that. And especially if you can pick up a couple extra sensors and then maybe get the cheaper one without the sensors for your secondary one, that way you don't have to spend as much on the sensors and stuff like that. So that may be my kind of recommendation, but at least they have like several options now to choose from.
Yeah, and I will say I use the Siri on my Ecobee a lot because it's in our family room. Wait, did I just trigger your Siri? Is that what that just happened?
Something did.
Something I just heard your Siri talk. But in our family room, I have my, you know, 7.1 Dolby Atmos surround with the home theater. And I was like, it's kind of dumb to put a HomePod in here, unless just for Siri. But I don't need to, because I can talk to the Ecobee thermostat, and it does all the Siri things that I need it to, and it works great. So I love Siri on the thermostat. I think it's a great idea. So there you go, Fabian. Ecobee, it's the one. So listen, listeners, send us your questions. Especially if you have a setup with an external Wi-Fi router for your HomeKit smart home stuff, I would love to know. We would love to know. Tweet at us. Andrew and I's Twitter handles are in the show notes. Shoot us your questions, your home projects. We'd love to cover them on the show. Links to all of our sponsors in the show notes. And of course, you can subscribe and watch the show at youtube.com/HomeKit Insider. Check us out there every week. And as we always say, we don't really say the same thing at the end of every episode, so that doesn't really apply. But nope, that's it. Thanks, HomeKiteers. We'll see you next time.